This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Well, hello everybody, this is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to another episode of Making Biblical Family Life Practical. You know what? I think I want to start out with a shout out to our friends Kendra and Fletch of Homeschooling in Real Life, the Homeschool IRL program, which finished up a wonderfully successful run on the network just this past week. And we just wanted to say congratulations and thank you for your leadership and encouragement and everything else. You've been good friends to us.
Oh, yeah. They are terrific, y'all. You ought to go listen to their archives. They're really great. They're also really good friends because they took in one of our sons with no warning. He was out in California, needed a place to stay, and they just welcomed him into their home and were wonderful to him. Such an encouragement.
So congratulations to Kendra and Fletch, and thanks for everything. And
yes.
So, and you know what? Speaking of friends in California, we are going there
this week.
This week, yes, we're going to be speaking at the Valley Home Educators Convention in Modesto, Fabled of Song and Story.
Well, you know what's really interesting to me about that?
What?
Is the very first homeschool gathering I remember going to was in Modesto.
Mm-hmm.
It was held in a park, in a public park, in a picnic shelter.
Yep.
But there were curriculum vendors there. I remember Beautiful Feet was there. I remember that. Because I remember talking to them. We bought some of those Hodding Carter books from them.
Oh, okay.
And our oldest child,
right,
was in a baby sling. He wasn't even 2 years old yet.
But we were already pretty well bit with this homeschool bug.
We were going to homeschool.
That was the very first event that any of us went to.
And the cool thing about that to me is, you know, now we're going back as speakers. In fact, we were keynotes there a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really neat to see that come full circle that, you know, that's where I was a wide-eyed newbie, you know, like a deer in the headlights. Oh, my word, this is so cool. This is so amazing.
Right.
And now we're going back teaching other people how to do what the Lord has brought us through in the past 20 years.
Did you just say a full circle?
Yes, it did.
You know, there's another circle that's playing this week, and that's we are taking our first newlyweds with us to California. Our son Matthew and his new wife Camille are going to be going as our booth crew, but I mean, just what a great opportunity to go out there and spend a little time with the newlyweds. And
it's
so
it's going to be so much fun traveling with them as two married couples traveling together. It's just going to be a blast.
You know, it's kind of interesting because, you know, you go through these milestones and sometimes you feel like, you know, when you've gotten married and then you've had a child and you feel like, okay, that's a big milestone. When you graduate from high school, you feel like, whew, they live to adulthood. And, you know, when that first one walks down the aisle and they get married and you say, wow, we've got a new generation. This is great.
Well, it's just really exciting. So, 5 years, more than 25 years, I guess 26 years, after our first homeschool event there in Modesto, we're back.
Yeah. So if you're in California, we would love to see you there. It's going to be at the Convention Center in Modesto, and that's going to be July 29th and 30th, I believe, are the dates. It's Friday and Saturday of this week. And if you're listening to recordings much time later, you know what? We would love to come to your convention, too. And we'll give you some information on how you can make that happen.
So Valley Home Educators this weekend in Modesto will be there. See you there. Hey, if you listen to the podcast, please come up and tell us. It's so encouraging because, see, we're sending this out there. We can't see your faces. And it's so fun to meet you. So be sure to come up and say, hey, I listened to the podcast, and chat with us while we're there. We're doing 8 awesome sessions. I'm pretty excited about it. They picked some of my favorite sessions.
Oh, it's going to be good.
Yeah.
It's going to be good. Well, okay, so let's talk about, this is an interesting thing. It kind of came up recently with some events that we won't go into in great detail, but I remember when we first got started homeschooling, you know that you're going to have to teach them to read. You know you're going to be teaching math and then one day algebra, and you're going to, you know, oh, we could do foreign languages. Wow, there's so many. You think of all the academic stuff. But once we got started homeschooling, it was like suddenly you realize, oh, wait a minute, the school was going to take care of that, weren't they?
Well, you know, I think when you decide your kids are going to school, you think the school's going to take care of pretty much all that teaching, even if they don't.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when you decide to homeschool, you realize, I guess what I'm saying is we worry about am I going to do a good, am I going to pick out the right spelling curriculum, or am I going to ruin their lives?
Yeah.
Which is crazy, but anyway. But we worry about those things, but really the things we ought to be worrying about are not the obvious academic stuff, because we generally get that stuff done.
And, you know, now that we've been doing, how long have we been doing this now?
23 years, something like that.
We're in our third decade of homeschooling.
Yeah.
So anyway.
We're dinosaurs.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We've talked to a lot of people and we've seen some things just even in our local community and realized that sometimes we miss out on stuff. And I remember people, you know, the socialization question, people say, oh, they'll miss the prom. Well, there's homeschool proms if that's important to you. But yeah, there are some things that just sort of happen as part of the landscape in the school system. And we've got to be aware of that and make sure that we're making some provisions for those things.
Yes. And
some families aren't.
Well, some families aren't. And that kind of, that was a surprise to me. Because, I don't know, we're super analytical. So some of the stuff we had thought through, and I was kind of surprised to find out some of our friends hadn't.
Okay, well, all right. Well, here's
one. Well, okay, yeah.
Okay, here's one that it just almost didn't require any thinking. That was getting a driver's license.
Yes, because, you know, I could not wait to get a driver's license.
It was just, I mean, everybody in school.
The second you qualified.
Oh, gosh, yes. The moment you qualified, you were down there getting your learner's permit. And, I mean, that was a major goal of those 2 years in high school, was get that license. And yet we've seen it over and over in homeschooling families. The kids are not, well, I don't know, that's a lot of responsibility, and I'm, you know, or the parents are just...
Or the parents are, that's so much responsibility, I just don't know if they're mature enough to handle that. But, you know, it's a life skill, Hal. It's something you need to know how to do. Not like we live in Berlin, now really.
I'll be honest, I have heard one family give a reason. I was going to say excuse, but they gave a reason, which I could say, okay, maybe or maybe not, but I can allow you that. I can accept that. They were concerned about the expense of the insurance in their particular family situation. I don't know. But, okay, that I can get my head around that. But the rest of it just seems to be fear.
Yeah, it is. And still, it's a life skill. It's like there are just certain things our kids need to know. They need to know how to drive. They need to know how to swim.
Well, but see, I learned how to swim during the summer. That didn't have a school connection for me, did it?
No, but still.
Yeah.
That's just, it's life skills. Your kids need life skills.
That's just one of those things that really surprised me when I guess, first realizing, oh, we got to make arrangements for that. And secondly, realizing not everybody does.
No.
And it just kind of like drifts.
Well, even if they do go to driver's ed and they get their kids their permit, they don't let them drive. And, you know, you got to think about it. You've got to think, because you're not used to thinking of that child as a driver. But they need, the more hours they get behind the wheel with you next to them, the safer they're going to be.
Well, you know, I think one of those things that happens is, we traditionally have larger families as homeschoolers. And a lot of times that first child that we've homeschooled, they get to be 14, 15, 16 years old. And we've still got nursing babies. We're still trying to get the toddlers under control.
And it's hard to realize they've made that transition. You know what? Sex ed is the same way, Hal.
Ooh, okay. Now that's a big one.
Because
yeah.
I hear parents say all the time, well, you know, my children are just so protected that we're not going to talk about that till they're teens. And that is such a mistake.
Like nobody has a cell phone? Is that what you're saying? Like there's not a cell phone in the house?
I know,
like,
right?
Nothing has internet access anywhere?
I had a mom actually tell me. Yeah. I was handing her a Covenant Eyes flyer, and she said, oh, I don't need that. Our kids don't have internet access. And I said, and she's sitting there playing on her phone. I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm checking Facebook. I said, you've got internet access right there. She said, oh, my kids don't know how to use that. I said, oh, yeah, they do. You know, I've seen little tiny kids. I saw it like an 18-month-old put in her dad's code and open his iPhone.
Well, but so, you know, but, okay, so we've got this highly sexualized culture that we're living in, and you can't avoid it. So
yes.
Are we training our kids to have discernment, to avoid predators, to turn away from pornography?
We really need to do that way earlier than we think right now because of the culture they're in.
Mm-hmm.
And we've just... We've got to, because no matter how much you think you're protecting them, all it takes is a kid with a cell phone in his pocket at church or at homeschool group or a cousin or a neighbor to expose your child. You've got to prepare them for that.
Yeah.
So you got to talk about these things with your kids, because your relationship with them is the biggest protection you have.
You know, interesting thing about that is so often when you talk about sex ed, the first thing that comes to my mind anyway is where babies come from. But that's really not the focus. That's not where the danger lies.
Yeah.
For our kids, it's like the warnings about predators, warnings about, child abusers of one sort or another, even other children, mm-hmm. and protecting yourself from pornography. And none of that has to do with normal procreation and family life issues that you think that you would learn in health class.
Yeah, we're having to talk about all those things with our kids.
Mm-hmm.
What about teaching them to manage money? Now, my parents took that super seriously.
Yeah, and your parents did such a good job of that. They had such a good, thoughtful process that's really what we adopted, too. And we might want to do a whole episode about that.
That's a good idea.
But that's a good thing, though. Do your kids have a checking account? Or do they have a debit card? Do they understand how to use a credit card? Do they, do you ever talk about budgeting and the real-life costs of just living in, the luxury of a home and electricity and things like that? I mean, we need to go into those kind of things, and maybe the schools would and maybe they wouldn't. I learned how to write a check when I was in third grade. Well, a lot of help that was. I wrote my next check when I was a freshman in college. But
okay, I started writing checks when I was in the seventh grade.
That's because your parents were doing this more correctly.
But, life skills. Things life skills. Like finances, changing a tire, changing the oil in your car, knowing when to put in transmission fluid.
You know, it's a shame, but, shop class is just not a thing anymore.
No.
Or home ec for that matter.
Or home ec. Do your kids know how to make a meal?
Right.
They need to.
And there are curricula for those things, if you really want to go that route, but so much of it you know how to
just
do.
Just bring them in the kitchen with you.
So much of it, mom and dad knows how to do this. Dad said, hey, come out and let me show you how to change the filter on the truck. Come out and let's debug this problem with the lawnmower or whatever it is.
And, that takes commitment, though, Hal, because sometimes when you're in a hurry and maybe you're hot or it's an annoying job, you don't want your kids there because it's annoying. But you know what? You need to do it anyway.
Well, there's some things that I have to send the family away, like installing a ceiling fan. I just have to say, everybody, please go to the movies. I don't want anybody in the house while I'm doing this because it is such an unpleasant job and I have a hard time being nice.
But you know what? You have taught our kids so much. Like right now, they're learning how to tile floors.
Yeah, one of my guys has been like right beside me. He's helping me reconstruct the subflooring, and we're putting down the concrete backer board, and we're gonna.
You can do so much now that we have YouTube. You can look up any task you need to do around the home, learn how to do it. But to do those things with your kids gives them so much confidence and skills that they need to be adults.
Let's tie in with one other thing before we go to the break, and that is. This is something that's starting to bother me a little bit, and people are starting to ask questions, what do I do with my kids kind of thing. When I was in high school, everybody didn't go to college. I'm a little southern town, maybe 15-20%. It wasn't a big number, but everybody just expected when I graduate from high school, I got to have something to do. I'm going to go to college. I'm going to join the army. I'm going to get a job at a local factory, or I got to do something. Because just going home and drifting was not an option.
Yes.
That was just not an option. That was just part of the culture. It's like the question, what are you going to be when you grow up? I mean, you just expected you were going to be doing something. But I'm seeing a significant number of folks, I wouldn't say a majority, but enough that you notice it, where the kids don't seem to have a vision for adulthood. That the parents say, well, everybody shouldn't, everybody doesn't need to go to college. Okay, well, that's true. What are you going to do if you don't?
What are you going to do? Exactly, because I'm seeing so many young adults just floundering. They don't seem to have any ambition. They haven't really thought about, they're doing those kind of minimum wage, no future jobs that you do to get through high school or college. But some of these kids aren't going to college. They don't have another plan. You can't support a family on a minimum wage job. You got to have a plan. You've got to be learning a skill or a trade or working in a factory or starting a business. And we owe it to our kids to give them that information before they're 18.
Yeah. Help them have that vision for adulthood. Well, look, let's take a short break here. We got a couple of resources we'd really like to share with you. And we're going to put them in the show page. But let's talk about them right now.
Okay.
Okay, so a couple of things going on. You know, we're talking about sex ed and having the talk very early and knowing how to really deal with issues with young people in a realistic manner.
We've got a new book that will really help you. It's aimed at teenage boys.
Right.
But you can use it with younger kids if you're doing the interaction with them and talking to them about it.
You know, any of those kind of things. They're not launch and leave things. You need to read it yourself, mom and dad, and then give it to them, discuss it with them.
It's called Love, Honor, and Virtue, Gaining or Regaining a Biblical Attitude Towards Sexuality. And the reason we said regaining is because, sadly, many of our sons have been exposed to this garbage already. They need help. They need help learning to getting a new mind toward it.
So this is something that the guys can read it and they can profit from it. It doesn't pull any punches, but it's you know, edgy and short, and it gets to the point, and they'll believe me, they'll read it.
Now, also, we are about to start a new live session of Boot Camp 9 to 12. This is our online class series. It's 5 weeks, and we do it live, so you can talk to us. Mm-hmm. You can ask us questions, and we can answer all your questions. And we're starting August 10th. It's going to be starting like at 8 p.m. every Thursday night for 5 weeks in a row. And it's for parents of preteens, like kids from like about 8 to about 14.
And this really deals with a lot of the things that surprised us when our kids got to, you know, we think of it as pre-adolescence or early adolescence. It's before their voice cracks, before you start to see, you know, physical changes on the outside. Suddenly something's not working right in their heads anymore.
Yeah, they're losing their temper for no reason or crying for no reason. We're going to talk about dealing with all that, dealing with physical changes, purity. Why is school in such a wreck right now? Everything. You're going to love it.
Okay. So if you want to find these two resources, come to our website, raisingrealmen.com.
Click on shop.
And then you can go to Love, Honor, and Virtue, or look for the boot camp. That's under the webinars
Events.
Page, right?
Yeah. Events, online members? Classes, I think.
Online classes. Yes. All right, so let's jump back in here. We're talking about things that you probably picked up in school and didn't stop and think, you know, if I've replaced the school and we're doing it at home, there's still some lessons to be learned.
Yes.
You know, one thing we heard a lot when we were just starting, and people still say it, although not as much as they used to, what about socialization? And I think everybody got the message. Everybody realized, hey, we need to get some outside activities. The kids need to have friends that aren't related to them necessarily. You know, that there's advantages to that. Okay, that's good. But there were some things that we learned. I'll have to admit, we learned some things the hard way, being in the social milieu of the schoolyard. They were not pleasant lessons, but they were important things that we learned as a result of them.
You know, and I'm glad our children have missed some of the bullying and ugliness and unpleasant socialization, but we need to make sure they learn the lessons anyway.
Like, okay, so for example, one of the things that, you know, really really hurts a sensitive child when they first get off into school situation, the schoolroom environment, is people, people making fun of them because they, I don't know, a mannerism or a strange turn of phrase or something like that. Well, you know, we don't want our kids made fun of, but we do need to train them. Hey, you know, everybody doesn't love you as much as we do here. And we need to be training our kids to be a little more discreet in the way that they express themselves, to understand that people will take offense, and oftentimes they will assume the worst from whatever you say. You know, I hear homeschoolers say things in total innocence, and I cringe because I think, wow, you know, you would have gotten slapped down for that when you were 8 years old if you were in the school system. Mm-hmm. But everybody understands what you mean, and you don't mean any harm. But the day's coming very quickly where you're going to be with people who don't understand and won't give you the benefit of the doubt.
Yes.
And so some of those kind of socialization lessons we need to be aware of, and we need to help our kids gently and lovingly understand how to walk discreetly.
They need to learn how to watch for people's responses in conversations, mm-hmm. to recognize when somebody's uncomfortable mm-hmm. or is looking offended. And some of these things you can do, like if you see your child having an awkward conversation with somebody, mm-hmm. later you can talk to them about it and you can role play. And you can say, you know, let's talk about how your friend Bobby felt when you said what you said earlier today. Now let's pretend you're Bobby and I'm going to pretend to be you. How would you feel if I said mm-hmm. and acted out? And that can help them to get their head out of themselves and into the perspective of somebody else.
Yeah. And that is that's a real thing. And of course, you know, maybe you'll have some of that experience in your outside the family socialization, but yeah, the fact is a lot of us as Christian homeschoolers, we seek out other Christian families to socialize with. And so even though we're outside of our family boundaries, we're still somewhat in a comfortable environment where people tend to give us some grace.
And some of your kids will automatically pick up on social cues. Mm-hmm. They will be watching how people are responding, and they'll modify what they're saying, and they'll understand when they need to be quiet and when they need to not. Some kids just get that automatically. And in the same family,
there will
other
be kids
who
are
clueless.
Utter cluelessness. Absolutely gormless. Yeah, and that's... And you know what? Same child at different times in their development.
True.
You know, that was one of the things we see.
Gormlessness is pretty common in those preteen years.
Well, that's what we saw with most of our guys. That they hit the early rush of hormones coming into that 9 to 12 transitional period.
And they get so awkward.
They were an emotional mess for those few years. But then when they sort of stabilized emotionally, they had no sense socially, and they would say the worst kind of things, and they would say the most awkward, embarrassing things, and just like, you have not learned your cues yet, son.
Yes.
So that is something we do need to be aware of. And I'll tell you what, I don't think there's anything more awkward than relationships between boys and girls.
True.
And, you know, there's been debate for, you know, as long as we've been involved with homeschooling, people have debated about dating, courtship, relationships, and all these kind of things. And that's a long discussion somewhere else. But here's the point of it. Sooner or later, a guy and a girl have got to get to know one another and decide whether or not to get married.
Yes.
And that process is, you know what, when did you have your first crush? When do you think? Do you mind asking? I'm thinking probably I was early middle school.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was, yeah.
Kindergarten?
Well, maybe
kindergarten
it's a,
for me.
Maybe it's a boy-girl thing.
Kindergarten for me, baby.
I don't know. But, I mean, that's, you know, we have those kind of experiences when we're in middle school, and they don't go anywhere. They really can't go much anywhere.
But sometimes hurt happens, you know, that you say, you know, everything's going great and you've got this quote boyfriend and mm-hmm. you're feeling special, and then you come in one day and he's decided to like somebody else.
Yeah.
And you're crushed. And you don't understand what happened. It's like being hit by a truck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, recently I've been observing some adult romantic relationships among homeschool grads.
Uh-huh.
And I'm thinking about a couple in particular where one of the parties broke up with the other one and they acted like middle schoolers.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of shocked, and I realized, yeah, because you know what? They didn't go through that pain in middle school. They didn't say to themselves, I will never treat somebody like that boy just treated me.
Right. And it's not just the, you know, the girl side at all. I
no,
mean, the boys realize, oh, that was a stupid way to approach a girl. I mean, it just blew up like crazy, didn't it?
Well, you know, I heard the adult son of one of our friends
mm-hmm.
told his mama, you know, you did a great job teaching me how to be a husband. I have no idea how to be a boyfriend.
And that was profound.
It really was, because we have got to teach our kids how to navigate this relationship, even if everything is perfect, even if they're both Christians, say they're both homeschool grads, they're raised in similar families,
yeah.
everything's green lights, there's still going to be issues that they're going to have to work out, and we need to be teaching our kids about this stuff.
You know, and that's the thing, because when there's a commitment, when there's the vows are exchanged and you are married and you've decided you don't want to leave divorce as an escape hatch, then when you have difficulties, you deal with them.
Yes.
You buckle down and you do what you have to do to make this thing last, because you've committed yourself to it. But you know what? Before you've got those vows, there's not that commitment to tie you down. And that's the thing, because you have to handle one another's sensibilities a little bit differently there, because you really can just turn around and walk off.
And see, I feel I am glad that these young people are waiting till they're adults to seek a mate. I think there's so much good about that.
I agree.
Saves so much time and angst from all the stuff in middle school and high school that people did when we were that age.
Right.
I think that's great. But there's some traps there.
Okay, here's one.
Yes.
Realizing that when you have a great big falling down kind of crush when you're 12 years old, and it doesn't go anywhere, you start to realize the third or fourth time that feeling butterflies is fun, but that doesn't mean true love.
Yes.
I mean, it's a phase. It's a part of the process. And I'm seeing this sometimes in the homeschool graduates who have so carefully guarded their hearts all through high school, and they get off into college, or they get off into that early adult years, and the first time anybody shows them attention, they fall head over heels and feel like, this is the one. Well, maybe it is, but maybe it's not.
Maybe it's not.
They've just never felt that way before.
Yes.
And we need to help our young people understand that when it happens.
And also, if everything goes great and they're in a relationship, that you can have fights and disagreements and disappointments and doubts and fears, and it still work out great.
Right.
You know, because I'm also seeing that is, you know, these kids get in relationships, and then it's like, if there's any bump in the road, they're like, oh, it's doomed. You know, they don't seem to realize that it's normal to have doubts and fears and all that stuff.
Everybody has a bad day.
Yeah. You know, maybe we ought to do a whole episode on relationships.
I think we probably should.
Well, I've got another topic we probably ought to do a whole episode on. What about bullying? Because I'm seeing bullying in homeschool groups.
Hmm.
And sometimes, well, a lot of times the parents have no clue that the bully is bullying.
Yeah.
And nobody seems to know how to handle it. We need to walk this through with our kids. We need to teach our kids that, you know, if someone bullies you, that if you respond by breaking down into tears or melting down, they're just going to get worse.
Well, you are right on that. But, you know, one thing that's going through my head is that we parents need our eyes open to say, hey, you know what? I know you love your kids, but let's be objective. Sometimes your kids are brats.
Yes.
Sometimes your kids are the trouble.
Look at the way they act at home, folks. I mean, really?
Well, you know, I just see that sometimes. But
it's the truth, you know? Yeah. And I've seen it again and again. In fact, it's very common in my experience for bullies to have very sweet parents. Uh-huh. Parents that are so sweet, they can't imagine anybody acting that way.
And they always put the best construction on anything they hear about their child.
And they've got a manipulative little child who takes every advantage of that.
Yeah, you know what? Sometimes we don't give full credit to the difference the Holy Spirit makes in our lives.
Yes.
And if He's not in our child's life, you can't expect fruit of the Spirit yet.
No.
I mean, that's just a hard reality. But anyway, so we've been talking about things that, you know, you would just sort of be swept along into, and if you were in a traditional school system, things that you might not have thought about when you made that decision to home educate your children, but yet there's some important lessons in there. What else? So we talked about driver's ed. We talked about sex ed. We talked about expectations for something after graduation. And then we were talking about all these kind of relationships and social issues.
Well, how about discernment? Because, you know, as our kids move into high school, we need to start letting them have exposure to things that are mixed, that have good points and bad points.
Well, Hebrews chapter 5 talks about the strong meat of strong doctrine, and not just the introductory, the milk and pablum type of doctrines, that mature believers need the strong meat because they have discernment because they have been trained through discerning good and evil. I can't quote it exactly, but look it up. I think it's chapter 5, verse 12. But the basic point of that verse was, one of the ways that we gain discernment is recognizing that there is a choice to be made.
Yes.
That doesn't mean, well, I got to go out and experiment. No, that just means recognize there's choice A and choice B, and the Bible would guide us in one direction or another. Have you thought this through? How do you process this kind of choice? You know, what are the things you need to be considering here? That's a whole great exercise.
But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil.
Okay, and that's verse 12, is that right?
14.
Oh, 14. Okay, yeah. So that's Hebrews 5:14. I need to make a note. We'll put that in the show notes. But anyway, that's an important thing. And you know what? I'm not sure that the school system is necessarily going to teach this, but they are going to be exposed to a lot of things in a school environment that maybe we have successfully protected them from at home.
But as they get ready for adulthood, we need to start teaching them how to discern good and evil there. You know what? We're out of time, Hal, but we've got a lot of topics maybe we ought to just do a whole show on.
I think we should. Well, look. We hope you will join us again. We try to get this up every week for you, and we want to talk about taking biblical principles into common everyday use, making them a practical reality in your home. If you like this kind of stuff, we want to encourage you to support this kind of stuff. Come out to Patreon, patreon.com/HalandMelanie, and you can be a constant ongoing sponsor that keeps us running.
And if you listen to us through iTunes, how about go out there and post a review?
Ooh.
Because the more reviews we have, the more people they'll show this show to.
Yes. So until next time, I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
Thanks for listening.
Bye, y'all.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.